Well, good morning from here at Elk Plain Community Church. Thank you for bringing up another sermon. This is the sermon that I'm recording for May 23rd, 2021. Last week, I finished the book of 2 Peter, and I have another book planned, but today we're going to spend just a little time on Psalm 103. Psalm 103 is a psalm of David, and it says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul," of David. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgression from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word, and thank you for the opportunity to read and share it together here on this video and in church on Sunday. And I just ask your blessing on it. And I pray that by reading this, Lord, that we would learn how to bless you, and we would also learn what you are like. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. So this particular chapter does have two things that I would like to bring out, two main thoughts I have when I'm reading it. One is I would really like to know and understand how we as people can bless the Lord, and what does it mean for us to bless the Lord. I would also like to know what God is like and be reminded of that and remember some of the things that sometimes we forget or we take for granted. So if I were to give you an outline of this, I would break it down like this. The first two verses, I'm going to call that determined to bless the Lord, to be determined to bless the Lord. Verses 3-7 is the benefits of God's actions. So those verses are actually focusing on some benefits we have in God, but in particular, what he does for us. Verses 8-14 is the benefits of God's character. So I think a lot of this chapter describes the benefits of being in a relationship with God and for God to be your father and for God to watch over you and care for you. But we see them both in his actions, but we see them in his very character in verses 8-14. And then finally, verses 15-19, I shouldn't say finally, but in verses 15-19, it's the difference between God and man. And there is a very big difference, so there's a contrast made there. And now, finally, it's verses 20-21. That's the call, again, to bless the Lord. All right, let's start with this first part, which I've called determined to bless. That's verses 1-2. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits." So how can I, as a man, bless the Lord? It seems most obvious that God blesses us, and he's the one that does the blessing, and that's often how we think about it. And if we think about it in that way, we should realize that you and I can bring nothing of value to God. We can't help him, and we can't better his situation in any way. We can't improve his existence by bringing something to him. We actually can't give him something that he's lacking. We can't do that. So, as I said, it's more obvious that he blesses us. But the Hebrew word translated bless here literally means to kneel. For us to kneel, it is sometimes translated praise. I think in the NIV, if you have an NIV, your Bible translates it praise. To bless the Lord means for us to worship him, to come before him and to praise and worship him. And so how can you and I bless the Lord? Well, I would say I could think of some obvious answers. I think it blesses the Lord when we read our Bible and we are interested in learning about him and growing closer to him. It blesses the Lord when we pray. When we spend time not trying to solve all the problems on our own, but turning to him. It blesses the Lord when we live our lives for him according to his will. And finally, I want to say it blesses the Lord when we set our hearts to worship him, and we do worship him with our lives. We ascribe the incredible worth that he has. So those are ways that we bless the Lord. So when it says here, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. That is about us worshiping God and praising him. Now, the answers that I gave are right, but I think that the text here actually gives us some additional information that's specific to this text about how you and I can bless the Lord. Now, the first thing I want to point out as you look at what David wrote here is he says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. He is expressing the fact that he is determined to bless the Lord. David is determined to bless the Lord. And so if you and I are going to bless the Lord, this is an important ingredient in our lives. We too need to be determined to bless the Lord, to live our lives in this way where we bless and we worship the Lord. David writes, all that is within me. And so we must not hold back from God. Our dealings with God must not be half-hearted or partial, but we need to put all of ourselves into it, all of our heart. And it needs to be sincere. It needs to be sincere. It needs to come from within our hearts, and it needs to be done in sincerity. That's going to be an important ingredient to us blessing the Lord. Now, he also says, forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. Forgetting not is really the same as saying remembering. We need to remember all God's benefits. Now, you may have some benefits at your job. Hopefully you do. And I think a lot of times that's what how we distinguish some jobs from others is what kind of benefits they have and if it's a good job or not. If you have good benefits, you probably have some sick time off, some vacation time. You probably have medical insurance. You may even have life insurance. And so those benefits are probably very important to you. Now, when you became a Christian, you also were put on a benefit plan. You were put on God's benefit plan. And I want to say God's benefit plan is better than any benefit plan. I mean, consider the retirement. The retirement is so much better in God's benefit plan. But some of his benefits are described here. And I would say that as I look at this, if I wanted to give you an idea of what we're going to see here, it's listing out and describing a lot of God's benefits. And I would describe those as what he does for us, and then it's who he is in his character. So I have it broken down into two different parts because I think the verses break it down into two different parts. So let's move to the next section here. That's the benefits of God's actions. Now, remember, you have the best benefit plan anywhere ever if you are in Christ. And here in particular, we're talking about God's actions. And these are not just past tense actions, but these are present tense actions. And so I see six actions that are mentioned in verses 3-7, six actions. So let's start in verse 3. It says, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. And so here we see God's actions. God forgives our sins. God heals us physically and spiritually, but I think physically it's talking about here. Now you might say, does God always heal everything? Well, anything that you've ever had so far, God has healed you from. And ultimately, when he brings you home, if you're his child, he will heal you completely. And so God always heals. Maybe he's not going to always heal on this earth, but he's always ultimately going to heal those who are in Christ. He redeems your life from the pit. That means he rescues you and restores you. And if you've come to Christ, he's redeemed you. And he continues to be a redeeming presence in your life. It says, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy. And so God just pours out his steadfast love and mercy. It's like he makes you royalty in that, and that how he treats you as his child and as an heir of his. And so those are the first four we see of what God does. If you look at it, it's a lot to be said right there. And we're going to go through these verses kind of fast, but the fact that God forgives our sins in each and every one of us, we've sinned so terribly against God, and we don't deserve this, but God forgives our sins. It's one of the great benefits we have in Christ, and it allows us to move forward in life. And he does bring healing of all kinds into our life, and God has made things so much better for us. And he redeems us, and he crowns us. And so let's remember those things as we look at them. And then it goes on in verse 5, and it says, who satisfies you with good so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. So when you look at another one of the actions that God does towards us is that he brings satisfaction. He really satisfies our deepest longings in our lives. And the fact is we're all made to have this hole in our heart for God, and we're all searching. We're oftentimes trying to fill it with something else. But when we come into Christ's presence, we find true satisfaction, and he really does satisfy us. And it says that he makes you like, he gives you something like the youth of an eagle. So he renews you in that way, and you can just picture the eagle soaring, and that God gives you this kind of strength and vitality spiritually. Verse 6 says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. So the sixth thing that God does there is that God works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. God is the one who makes things right for the oppressed. Now, Israel was an example of that. And that's what he says. When it says he made known his ways, that means his ways of bringing righteousness and justice to the oppressed. He did that for Israel. And so Israel is a great example of God rescuing the oppressed. And it is a big concern of today, and it's a big subject. And I think the thing that really guides us when we allow the Bible to guide us is that this is part of God's character to watch out for the oppressed. And he promises to do that. And you and I can have a heart to do this, but ultimately it's God that must do it. And God must do it his way. And so we can trust God that that's who he is and that's what he does. Now let's move on to the benefits of God's character. The benefits of God's character that we see here. It says, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. And so again, I would ask, what is God like? And I mentioned that in the introduction. What is God like? And this gives us an idea of what God is like. Five things are listed in verses 8 and 9. God is merciful. He is merciful. It means he doesn't give us the punishment our actions deserve. Instead, he gives us mercy. Also, God is gracious. He is good to us, even though we don't deserve it. And that's very complimentary to mercy. Grace is. In fact, he just pours out blessings on us that we don't deserve because he is gracious. He is slow to anger. It means he is patient with us. He is not easily angered. He doesn't have a short fuse just ready to blow off at any time. God is perfectly patient with us. And he's slow to anger. He's abounding in steadfast love. He has a wealth of love for you and for me. He's abounding in it, and it's steadfast. It's perfectly trustworthy. It's good. It's consistent. We can always count on God's love. And then finally, the next thing we're going to see is that he is forgiving. He is forgiving. And I say that because it says he will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He will not always chide means, the word chide there that it's translated from means he will not continually contend against us. He will not remain agitated with us because he forgives us. And he will do that. He will forgive us. Now, it goes on and elaborates on God's forgiveness in verse 10. It says, he does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, So great is the steadfast love towards those who fear him. Now, so he had elaborated on forgiveness. Now he's elaborating on his steadfast love here. It's when you compare it to other things, he says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love towards those who fear him. It reminds me of when I would tell my kids, you know, that I love you infinity. Or I would say, I love you infinity squared. I love you infinity to the infinity power, you know. It's this idea here that this is how God's love is. It's higher and greater than anything else. Now, there is a qualification listed here. It says, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love towards those who fear him. Those who fear him. Now, I'm of the belief that God loves everyone. Every single person, whether they come to Christ or not, that God loves them and he loves them perfectly. But I'm also of the belief, which I take from the Bible, is that God loves believers in a way that he doesn't love non-believers. So he has a special love for believers. And I think this is really somewhat easy for us to understand when we think about life experiences. You may love everyone, but you have a special love for your own children or for your own family. You may love everyone's parents, but hopefully you have a special love for your parents. And you may love all believers out there too, but I would think you probably have a special love for those believers that are part of your church. And those are just little pictures of what it's like in our relationship with God. God loves everyone, but God has a unique and a special love for his children, for the church. Now, who is it that he says has this? It says, those who fear him. So those who fear God, and I think you're going to fear God if you believe in him and you trust him and you're born again and you're saved. But to fear God means to be in awe of him. You're in awe of him and you respect him. So you don't just, it's not like you can easily just not care what he thinks and go the opposite direction, because you fear him. And also you realize that he has control and power over your life. So you recognize that. But I want to say it's not a fear that causes you to run away and to go and try to escape from God. No, this is a good kind of fear. It's a fear that makes you want to go into God's presence, but to move away from sin. So this fear is good and it's healthy for you. Again, it brings you into God's presence and it drives you away from sin. That's the kind of fear that God wants us to have. And it says, God is so great as his steadfast love towards those who fear him. And so when we believe in God and we fear him and we have that proper respect, then we also experience God's steadfast love in our lives. Verse 12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. And this is, again, like the infinity example. You know, how far is the east from the west? If you draw it on a line and you say this direction is east and this direction is west, you know, how far is it? How far is it? You know, how far is infinity from negative infinity? It's that same kind of idea. This is what God does with our sins. This is what God does with our transgressions when he deals with them and he removes them. He doesn't continually hold them over us, but he forgives us. And so this is yet another example and picture of God's character. What he does, he's a forgiving God. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Now here, this is an example that elaborates on really what we're saying, is that as a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. And so this is the example given as the father, how he shows compassion and cares for his children. And when we're his children and we fear God as we ought, right, that God gives compassion to us. And he cares for us and he looks at us in a special way. Now, again, I believe God shows a certain type of compassion to the whole world, but he shows a special compassion to those who are his children. And especially when we as his children respect him and honor him the way that we should and consider him. I think another thought about the fearing God is that when we are making our decisions, we think about God first. We think about what he says. We think about what he wants and what he desires. And that's what it looks like to fear God and to respect God and to be in awe of God. It says, for he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. God knows how temporary we are. But at the same time, he knows our frame. This reminds us as he knows our frame, even when it was hidden in our mother's womb and we were being knitted together there. He knows us. He knows us well. And he knows our needs and he knows our limitations. And he really, really cares for us. This God that we serve really cares for you. Now, the next part I see in this is the difference between God and man. The difference between God and man. We saw a little bit of that just as we looked at that. But it says, as for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field, for the wind passes over it and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. You know, I think about my place, my house, where I live, my block, where I am. And someday, probably, unless Christ comes back first, which is possible, and which I look forward to, and I hope that'll happen. But if not, someday, I know it'll happen, by the way, but I hope that it'll happen soon in my lifetime. But maybe not. That might not be God's plan for me. But someday, back to what I'm saying, someday, if that doesn't happen first, some other person will be living in my house, in our house. Some other lives will be going on there. And we'll have just been somebody that was here for a short time and gone. And I think about our church too, like someday, if Christ doesn't come back before then, some other person's going to be standing here preaching week after week. Some other people are going to be on the board here. Some other people are going to be working in the nursery and teaching Sunday school. And hopefully this church is continuing that way. But, you know, we're very temporary. And so we can see that. I think God is bringing that into focus here. But when God compares himself to us, it says, but the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children. So God's love is permanent and always on us. And we talked about last week, I thought this was a pretty important thing for us to remember, that even though I mentioned that we're in some ways we're like the flower that's here today and gone tomorrow, we're enduring because we go and spend somewhere in eternity. But God's love will foreverlasting be upon those who fear him. And it says, in his righteousness to children's children. So he works throughout our family and spreads his righteousness throughout our family. It says, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. And so that's a reminder that God does this in our lives. When we keep his covenant, we remember to do his commandments. And I would look at that as being obedient to him or keeping his commandments. That's what we need to do as men. It says, the Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. And again, so there's this contrast of the Lord and of man. And the next section I see is this call to bless the Lord. This call to bless the Lord starts in verse 20. It's kind of a sandwich is formed here. So in the beginning, we have this determination to bless the Lord. David is determined to bless the Lord. He starts with that. Again, he talks about the benefits of the Lord in his actions, talks about the benefit of the Lord in his character. He compares and contrasts that with man. And now he ends by closing this nice sandwich we have here with the call to bless the Lord. It says, bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. And so here we have a call for the angels, or also called the mighty ones, to bless the Lord. So to join in the worship. We have him continuing. It says, bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. And his host, we might think like angel armies here. Again, I think this is talking about angels, but all those who do his will. So again, it's a repeat of the call for the angels to join in blessing the Lord. And then finally, it says, bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. All his works is all his creation. And so I see this closing part as his call to the angels to join all of creation. And that includes us to bless the Lord, to bless his holy name, and to do it everywhere, because that's in all places of his dominion, which is everywhere. There's nowhere outside of his dominion. And then it returns to that idea of the determination to do what we need to do, which is to give ourselves fully to God, to worship him, to bless the Lord, O my soul, to bless the Lord. Now, this also reminds me of the very end of Psalm 150, verse 6, it says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And so that call, you know, whether you're an angel or you're a man, everything, everywhere, let us all praise the Lord. Okay, so let's go back to that idea. How can you bless the Lord? And let's review what we saw here. So first of all, you can bless the Lord by being determined to worship God. So set your heart on worshiping God and blessing Him in that way. That's going to be something that we need. So we need to orient ourselves in that way. That needs to be what we're seeking in life, what we're pursuing, what we're after. Second thing is we need to remember, and he mentions it's easy to forget, and he says forget not, but we need to remember what he does and who he is. That's what God does. I think we can remember what he has done on our behalf, what he continues to do, and then remember who he is. What is God like? We need to know his character. We need to know who he is, and we saw some of that here. Third thing is we need to believe what he reveals about himself. So when he says he loves us, we need to believe that he loves us. When he says he's acting and he's doing these things on our behalf, we need to believe them and make them our own. It's like receiving them and trusting him. It's the same way we come to Christ. We need to believe that Christ died for us. We need to personally receive that by faith, by believing. So we need to believe what he reveals about himself. And fourth, we were encouraged two times in here to fear the Lord. We need to fear the Lord. We need to have that awe and respect. And we need to have the kind of fear that brings us into him, brings us closer to him, and doesn't make us run away like we're in a horror movie or something like that. But we're caught up and we're very interested in him. But we also have great respect for him because we know how powerful he is and that he controls everything in our lives. And then finally, if we want to bless the Lord, we need to keep his commandments, not to earn our salvation or earn our way. That's not how it works, but we need to keep his commandments to bless him and to worship him and to love him. And that's what Jesus says. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And so those are five ways that we can bless the Lord. In addition to the ones I mentioned earlier, like, you know, the really probably common thoughts about reading your Bible and these things. But these are five things that I see directly in this passage here that we can do to bless the Lord. And so today we saw this. We saw how we can bless the Lord. And I hope that, I know we went through it pretty fast, but we got a little taste of what God is like. And I like to close with something that I heard on a pastor's podcast this week. The pastors that were talking shared about a person that came to Christ. And the person came to Christ after really, truly understanding what God was like and understanding the gospel. They said this, and it kind of hit home with me. They said, I didn't think a person like me could be a Christian. And I think what they were saying is something along the lines of, I didn't think that God could love me, maybe because I've done too many bad things and I've been too rebellious. And when they came to an accurate understanding of who God is, you know, what he does, what his character is, how he loves us, they realized that, yes, God could love even them. And I want to say that God can even love you and God could even love me. And I think they also said something along the lines of they didn't think they were the type of person that could be a Christian. But really, they're exactly the type of person that can be a Christian. And you're exactly the type of person that can be a Christian. And God is exactly the kind of God that is worth following and that loves you in a perfect way. And so I just wanted to share this to end this, because the idea, you know, was how can we bless God? God blesses us in so many ways. How can we bless him? We took a look at this, but we also saw what is God like? And he's exactly the kind of God that's worth following. And he's just got such incredible love and care to us. So I just want to invite you to give your life to the Lord. If you've really never come to that point of realizing that you're a sinner in need of the Savior and you need to trust God and believe God, what he did on your behalf, how he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for you. And he didn't stay dead. He rose again. And then he appeared to hundreds of people, over 500 people at one time. And then he ascended into heaven. And he had told his disciples that he's going to prepare a place for us. And he's going to come back to take us to where he's going. And so I just want to invite you to believe that and to trust God. And that will be a big blessing to the Lord if you will do that and you'll worship him in that way. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for today. I just thank you for anybody and everybody who's watching this. And I pray, Lord, that this helps them to be closer to you or even, Lord, to see and understand your free gift of love and salvation in their lives, and for them to believe it and to just trust you and to bless you in that way. Thank you so much. We love you and we praise you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Look forward to doing this again in the near future. God bless.